in the fearing of God. Not only we believe God exists, but we also have to rely on Him, trust in Him with all our hearts. And now we talk about be far from evil. Hate what God hates, but love what God loves. But we were talking about evil things. Sometimes it's quite attractive because our sinful nature, our flesh, inclined toward the wrong desire, to fulfill the lust or the desire, not according to God's word. So it is very important to learn how to resist the temptation. And we just read the verse, how Joseph resists the temptation. Because we mentioned about why he faced temptation first. First of all, because he was handsome. But there's nothing you can change, right? Yeah, if you're handsome, you're handsome. You cannot blame your parents. But being handsome or being beautiful will put you into more temptation. So in chapter 39, what temptation has he been facing? And what is the most tempting one? And how could he resist? Here, temptation is sexual temptation, about sexual integrity. Now we can imagine how old were Joseph when he was in Egypt. When he was sold, how old was he? 17. So like most of your age, most of you are 18, 19, 20 something. So after several years working in the Potiphar's house, maybe he's close to 20, or maybe 19, 18. So if you know biologically, a young man reaching 18 of age, sexually he's mature. In the old days, people are 17, 18, they got married, they can have kids. Because the body has developed this sexual urge, sexual desire. And for Joseph, he was handsome, and Potiphar's wife is tempting him. It is so hard to resist the temptation. It's not Joseph he asked for this, but actually it's the woman who offered herself. And that is one of the most difficult temptations to resist. Right? You can imagine the scenery, right? Joseph was a young man. What in the ancient time, there's a lot of painting depicting the temptation of Joseph, how he faced Potiphar. How would that be? Maybe imagine this, right? So there's a modern version, the Lego version. Nowadays, everything has Lego version. Those old classical painting is a little bit showing too much skin, so I'm not going to show it here. But there's a cute Lego version of the temptation of Joseph that he faced. Now, can you imagine? This sounds funny, right? But first of all, Joseph was at the age that he has the needs. Secondly, he takes no effort, but the woman who come to him. Usually for guys to pursue the woman, it takes effort. But for the other way around, usually the man cannot resist because it just, people come up to you. Thirdly, nobody sees, because Potiphar's wife has made it clear, nobody will know, we just do it. And fourthly, it's not only about the fleshly desire. Actually, it's about the career advancement. Because actually, Potiphar's wife is his boss. Because the man is not in the house, so actually is the Potiphar's wife is the boss of Joseph. He reports to her every single day. She's the one giving instruction for him to do any kind of housework. So they have a lot of time together as master and slave. Can you imagine if you were Joseph? Even though you don't like her, you are not attracted to her at all. I don't know how old is she, but I don't think she may be that old. She may not be that ugly, because Potiphar is a very big man, right? The wives he married shouldn't be that bad. Maybe beautiful, we don't know. But even Joseph is not attracted to him. Even he didn't have the sexual needs. But can you easily say no to your master?
If you say no, that can mean you can lose your job. If you say no, that can mean that he can put you into a very difficult position. But if you say yes, what does it mean? He will give you a lot of conveniences. Maybe you become his favorite. You secure a position in this house as a secret lover of the woman in charge in the house. And you'll be guaranteed good life. Not only physically you can enjoy, but career-wise, he also can secure a very good standing position. So this is the worldly perspective, right? You can have fun, nobody knows, and that's good for your career. That is the devil's offering. Devil put this offer on the table through this woman in this setting. How can anyone here resist? I think this temptation is given to us, 99.9% of us fall. And it's already in the bedroom. This woman, one time, two times, three times, tempting Joseph. First of all, using what? The eyes. Right? The eyes. Not this kind of eyes, right? But using the eyes. Eyes has a lot of verbal, non-verbal signal. Actors, they can act, not only they can say things, but their eyes can talk. People's, entice people, not with the mouths, not with the look sometimes, but actually the eyes. The eyes had a lot of communication. So Potiphar's wife, first of all, using the eyes. So brothers, if you want to avoid temptation, the first thing is you avoid looking at the eyes of the very attractive woman. If you look at the eyes, sometimes you get hooked very easily. First, using the eyes. Secondly, the woman using verbal talk, very seductive talk. Say, sleep with me. Come. Nobody will know. No. Thirdly, the woman is too aggressive. Just grab him, pull him into the bed, and they are ready. She is ready. So that is the temptation he is facing. Just like a spider. Spider? Just like a black widow's spider. If an insect gets caught in the web, it's just crawling. And nobody can easily escape. But thank God Joseph did escape. What made him escape of this snare, of lust, of sexual immorality? There's only one thing which helped him to escape. Let's read again. And this verse shall be in your mind all the time. Let's read verse 30, chapter 39, verse 9. Let's read together loud and clear. 1, 2, 3. What did Joseph say in reply of this offer? First of all, Joseph said, your husband trusted me so much and give everything onto my hand. So first of all, he said, how can I be unfaithful to my master? Right? But that's not the main point. Why he could not do it? Not that he doesn't like to do it, as any man, any young man would like to do it. But why he cannot do it? Why he cannot? It's because of God. What did he say? Underline this in your Bible and always remind yourself, how can I do such a great sin against God? So he rejected the offer, not because he didn't like it, but because God is watching. And how can I sin against him? So in his eyes, there's nothing about personal pleasure. In his eyes, there's nothing about future career. He's just afraid that he sinned against God. If he sin against God, his life finished. He knows about that. If he sin against God, he will lose all the guidance, all the blessing. If he sin against God, he knows he'll be in bigger trouble than just in prison. He knows by rejecting this woman, he'll have a lot of trouble. But he knows that sinning against God will give him even more trouble. So he's so afraid of sinning against God. This kind of afraid of God, afraid of punishment, afraid of the hell, is sometimes it's important. Right? Bible tells us God is what? Consuming fire. If you look at the book of Hebrews, right? We read about God is consuming fire. So that's why we have to always remind ourselves, how can I sin against God? There was a brother. He was dating a church sister by himself. He didn't go through matchmaking. Well, if you go through matchmaking, sometimes it can save you a lot of trouble like this. Right? Because you're under monitoring. You're under supervision. You know, but this brother, you know, he met a sister and they are dating each other. Actually, they come from different country. They come from different country. And that sister flew all the way to the brother's country to visit him. Now, in our church, 99% of the sisters, they are decent. They are very holy. They are very pure. But some are not, to be honest. Some are not. Some are already influenced by the outside world. And so is our brother. Most brothers are pure. You repent, you follow God. But some, their hearts already polluted. So that sister flew all the way to visit him. And where does she stay? She has no place to stay. She doesn't want to rent a hotel. So the sister tells him, can I just stay in your house? Well, the brother at the beginning was a little bit reluctant. But he think that, okay, we are in a relationship. We are dating. We are serious. So maybe, okay, you can stay in my house, but different rooms. This is the first mistake. Before you get married, no matter whether you are in a relationship, matchmaking, or you know it by yourself, you should never let an opposite sex, not even outsider we're talking about, but even church sister or church brother, to stay in your house without a proper relationship, right? If it's a husband or wife, of course, it's okay, but you are not even married. How can you allow people to stay in your house? Especially your parents not around. Even worse. But that brother made the first mistake. He allowed her to stay in his house. And when the parent is not around. And that sister tempted him. You know, for men, usually, if we can control ourselves, our sister usually, most of them are pure. They don't do things like this. But some sister, the mindset was polluted. That sister tempted the brother. Maybe this is not her first time. The brother was so shocked. How can that happen? How can a sister, you know, do this? The brother said, No. We are not married yet. We are not even engaged. We are not married. You can't do this. But one time, two times, the sister tempted him. But the brother really tried hard to resist because he didn't want to sin against God. And during one night, during the dream, God revealed to the brothers that, wow, God let him see the hell, the hellfire burning. Wow, he's so scared. Immediately, he told the sister, you can't do this. You can't keep on living here. You cannot put me into temptation. We have to keep ourselves pure. And if this is what you focus, I think our relationship have to end. If we are knowing each other, we should focus on God, but not physical desire. So the brother end the relationship. Tell her to go back to her own country. Because this brother really afraid to sin against God. So Joseph in the Bible give us a very good reminder. He feared God so that he choose, even though against his own wish, against his flesh, against the advantages that he can get in short term. But sometimes I think, if he allow him to continuously in this situation, how long can he resist the temptation? No, I don't think any brother, any of us as a man, if we keep going to this situation, so thank God, you know, that Potiphar's house grabbed his clothes and he ran away and he accused him falsely. So he was put into prison. I thank God for that he put in the prison. Do you know why? The prison is safer than in the bedroom of Potiphar's wife. Isn't it? At least his soul is safe when he's in prison. Even though spiritually he may have doubt, he may have, you know, kind of struggle, why I'm in prison. But spiritually, also he's saved from this woman tiger. You know, this woman is just like a tiger or lioness, you know, want to devour him. It's better for him to go to prison to take refuge. So this comes as a reminder for our sister here too, right? Sister, you are very important. You know, our brother is very naive sometimes. Our brother sometimes, they are not that bold. But if sister, if you control your body, even you are in a relationship, you are in the matchmaking, but if you say, no, don't touch me, that usually the brother don't want to do anything. Yeah. But if you allow them, or you make the move to tempt them, wow, you can kill them spiritually. So sister, mind your body very carefully. And of course, also mind your dress, the way you dress in the church. I know in the society, all the women dress ungodly. Sometimes I go to school, you know, go to the beach, people dress very suggestively. But for a Christian sister, you are the daughter of Jesus Christ. Your body is your only reserve to your future husband, not to expose it, to show it to people. So it's very important, the way you dress. Don't say that, oh, I just feel like the way I dress. Some people dress too tight when they come to church. You know, too tight. This is very distracting for brothers, right? It's not fun, you know. Brothers, they are visual animals. Yeah, anything visual can cause them to force distraction. You know, sometimes the big billboard, right? You know, they put a bikini woman there, people driving, all the men look, and then car accident. It's true. So that the government banned in some country. You know, you cannot put those... Yeah, the car accident. Some sister, when they come to church, wow, they dress that pant very tight, the jean very tight, the shirt very tight, too much skin, no good. Even the weather is very hot outside. You have to control, you have to know whatever you are doing is affecting brothers. Even in the future, you're in a relationship, you have to maintain the line. No touching me until we get married. Right? So, fear God. Sister, fear God. Brother, fear God. And then we'll be blessed by God. So, sister, please make sure your skirt, your dress is not too tight, not too short. When you sit down, a lot of skin exposed, no good. Right? Yoga pants like Lululemon, all those things. You cannot wear it in the church, please. Sometimes I go to the airport, under the mall. The women nowadays, they wear all those yoga pants. It's very, very bad. Right? You may not know. Oh, you say all the girls outside, they dress like this. But it's not for you. You are the daughter of Jesus Christ. Right? So yoga pants, tight jeans, shorts, showing your belly, too much skin, you have to change it. Because you are the daughter of Jesus. Right? And brothers, make sure your eyesight, even though distraction is there, just keep looking straight. Right? You know, how did Joseph run away or resist this temptation? Right? Of course, it's fear God. Because it's fear God, he ran. Let's turn to 2 Timothy. Chapter 2. Verse 22. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3. Flee from youthful lust. Fear God means you flee, you run away. Fear God doesn't mean that you fight with temptation. The Bible never tells you, fight temptation, overcome it, subdue it. You know, the Bible did not say this. The Bible said, flee, run away. You know, that Potiphar's wife, this woman, so aggressive, even get the jacket, get the coat of Joseph. What did he do? You know, like Jin Chan Toker, like the snake, right? Can give out away the skin. Right? Okay. He doesn't even want his coat. Run away outside. I'll let you have my jacket, doesn't matter. He just go, sleep through it. Wow, run away outside. Not even one more minute in this room. Because if you stay another minute, I think he cannot hold it. No man can undergo this kind of temptation for a repeated period of times. He was a young man like you, right? So flee, run away. Run away from ungodly images in the internet. Run away from movies or shows that can trigger your desire. Run away from any opposite sex, any relationship focused on physical intimacy before you're getting married. Flee away from anyone who can cause you to commit sin. So, prevention is better than cure. A few months ago, I was talking to a sister. Actually, she lives in a remote place. She lives in a remote place for exchange student. There was no church in that city. That's why she didn't come to church. But there's a family group. So I and other workers, we go to visit the city, and I call her. Why don't you come to church? And she came that night. And afterwards, she texts me. She said, Pastor, I make a mistake. I said, what? Usually, this kind of situation is nothing good. Actually, she has only been in that city for 6 months. But during that six-month period, because she was so lonely, she didn't go to church because it's a little bit far. And she had many outside friends, and she started to date a guy from outside, the same school. And that dating very quickly focused on physical intimacy. You know, when you're dating outside guys, right, especially for sisters, there's only one thing they want. Don't be naive. They don't want to listen to you. They don't want to just be caring. Even though they are caring, they're listening, but there's only one thing in their mind they want. Do you know what is it? It's your body. Physical attraction, that's very natural. So only a few weeks into the relationship, already, she committed fornication with that boy outside. She's crying, talking. She asked me, what can I do now? I said, I told her you can only repent, but what you have done, you have done. You have to know this is very serious. She was very faithful. She go to church a lot. She was even an RE teacher in his own church. But don't overestimate about yourself. Don't think that, you know, I've been coming to church. Don't think I grew up in the church. Don't think I know Bible. If you are put into a setting like this, lonely, far from church, other people pursue you, very easy to fall. And if you choose a place to do exchange student where there's no TJC, you're very easy to fall. When you have no sister or brother, no spiritual companion, no fellowship, you feel lonely, very easy to fall. So, and then she fell during the last 2 weeks of her stay in that place. If you only stay like 5 months, maybe this never happened. But the last few weeks. So it's very sad. Right, very sad. And of course, I tell her you have to repent and pray, ask God to forgive you. So, to prevent is better than cure. So Joseph, he feared God. God is watching. And brothers, fear God. Nowadays, we may not have the guts or the boldness to go out to commit fornication. But a lot of fornication is happening in the mind through your computer, through your cell phone. I know there's a strong urge. Every brothers, as we say, visual animals. We are easily stimulated by our thoughts. We have the weaknesses. But we tell Jesus, please, Jesus, I need help. Be honest with your own weakness. Tell Jesus, help me. And fear God every time you're opening your computer. Tell yourself, who is there? Not only you are there, but God is there watching. God is standing by your side, recording, watching what you are watching. If today God showed us what is our browse history, what you've been through on the internet, exposed to everybody, I think a lot of us will feel a little bit ashamed. I shouldn't have watched this, right? But I wanted to. But from now on, fear God, you know, even though I really much wanted to watch it. But God doesn't want me to watch it. So I have to suppress this by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the power of God's help, suppress this urge. Listen to sermon, listen to hymns, read more Bible, focus on positive things, which can help us. So fear God means we have to draw ourselves far from the evil. A third point, fear God also from the book of Proverbs means humility. Humility. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 12. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 12. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3. Fear God actually is an attitude. And this attitude, one of us is humility. Because before someone downfall, his heart will become proud. And when a person becomes too proud, he becomes crazy. But before honor comes humility. So humility actually is the key attitude to receive blessing. There's a lot of verse. You read the book of Proverbs, talk about humility. Especially nowadays, in our society, we don't much appreciate humility. In the old Oriental culture, even now in some Asian culture, humility is emphasized. But in American culture, humility is not appreciated. It's not emphasized. Because in our Western culture, we talk about individualism. We talk about you have to show people what you have. You have to even boast yourself, market yourself. For example, in the interview, if you say, you know, if the interviewer asks you, what are you good at? If you say, well, actually, I'm not good at anything. Well, you know, I have a lot of weaknesses. You know, there are many things, many times I make mistakes. If you said this, what will happen? Interview finished. Oh, thank you. Okay, your interview finished. You can go home now. In our society, people don't emphasize humility. People don't emphasize admitting mistakes. Look at our president. When is the last time he made any mistake, right? Right? Even though it's wrong, he said you're fired. So, politician, never say sorry. Because the moment you say sorry, they think that I'll be in trouble. But the Bible is opposite of what the world teaches you. If you want to receive blessing from God, now humble yourself before the Lord. So what is humility in the Bible? There's a few things for your reference. First of all, remember that you are not perfect. To admit the fact that you are not perfect and you are far from perfect. Because you are not perfect, so you have to listen to advice and even criticism. You know, by nature, nobody likes to be reminded too many times. If your mom tells you the same thing 3 times in the morning, what will you do? So, mom, you said 5 times already. The mom said, no, I only say 3 times. You say, no, mom, 5 times. And your mom said, if you listen to me, I will not repeat myself. Right. So by nature, nobody likes to be reminded, and even nobody would like to be rebuked or scolded. And if you do something, you expect people to appreciate you, to say, oh, you do a good job. But what if you do something, people say, you know, you do a lousy job, you know, terrible. You know, the food you cook, it's not good. You know, the assignment is junk. If people criticize you, wow, you feel hurt. But before God, there's something we have to remind ourselves. We are not perfect. If you think you are perfect, that means you are not humble. You think you are God. How can we always say something right? How can we always make right decision? How can we always say, I have no mistake, you are the one who is wrong? You know, humility is so difficult, you know, when we know something, when we are educated. Nowadays, I see the younger generation in our church. The biggest problem is not lacking of education. The biggest problem in our youth is not that they are not smart. On the contrary, youth are very smart, thinking fast, good education. They know a lot of skill, a lot of things. But usually those who are so smart, so fast thinking, they are so talented, usually those workers is causing problem in the church. Those who cause problem is not the one without any talent. Those who cause problem in the church, if they are so smart, but they are not humble. They are not humble. So that's why, sometimes I look at the youth, some are very good. They are very smart, they are very talented, but they are very humble. They listen to advice. But some, wow, they think that they go to university, they got a degree, they do this and that, wow, they don't listen to advice. You can't talk to them. You know, there was one time I was talking to a youth worker. I reminded her about something. No, she's upset. And I tell her, don't be upset. I'm not against you personally. I'm thinking about the whole thing, right? She said, well, if you don't like me, fire me. Wow. If you don't like the way I work, fire me. Wow. I said, how can you talk like this? But of course, I don't talk anymore because I know she's having so much anger. She's having so much issue. But when we do holy work, we shouldn't do like this, right? If you don't like me, fire me. Or if you don't do it my way, I quit. When you serve God, you can never do this kind of attitude. So especially, you are the future generation of the church. You'll be given a lot of responsibility. But the most important thing we learn from the holy work is humble. This is a lifelong lesson. Even when we get old, humility is still the hardest lesson. Humility also means, remember, you are nothing but dust. Right? Let's turn to Genesis again. Remind us. What are we made of? Chapter 2, verse 7. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. In this verse, the Bible tells us God used the dust from the ground to create human being. And when Abraham was talking to God, praying to God, let's turn to Genesis chapter 18, verse 27. Genesis 18, 27. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3. Abraham was so close to God. He was a good friend of God. But he didn't forget. He's just dust. So, brother and sister, who are you? Who are you? Who are you again? Dust. You can say, my name is dust. I'm real dust. I'm dirt. You know, what is dust? You open the vacuum, inside is dust. Dustbin, there's dust. This is what you're made of. You are nobody. Even though you do something for God, God used you to achieve something, but that doesn't change the fact that you are actually dust. But we are just a little bit precious dust. We are precious dust because what? What is in this dust? Holy Spirit is in this dust. God is living in us. God is living in this dust, but still dust, right? How much you pay for dust? If you go to a supermarket or go to buy one urn of dust, how much does it cost? Right, you go to funeral home, you see a lot of urns, right? Those people, the body after they were burned is dust. Will anybody buy any dust? No. So don't be proud. Don't think that you go to a good school, you know, and you walk outside, wow, you feel different. Don't think that your GPA is high, you know. You are different. There are way more people outside smarter than you, but more humble. In our church, some people are really, really smart. Some workers, some older generation, they're really, really smart. But when they come to church, wow, they serve God so humbly. There was a minister that I know. He's a deacon. He worked in a company, very high position. But every time I come to the church, I see him. Wow, he come early to clean the dustbin, to bring the garbage outside the church. He did this for decades without any notice. Even before he was a deacon, he does it every week. After he became a deacon, he still do it. He still do the garbage in the church and bring it outside. He's not a very good talker. He's not a very eloquent speaker. Every time he have to prepare a sermon, it takes him weeks. He said, giving a sermon is a big challenge for me. I don't have eloquence. But he's so nice, so humble, so loving. No, serve the church in many ways. So we are dust. We're nothing more than that. But we are a little bit precious dust because God is using us. Sometimes I look at some youth, I feel sad for them. They think they know something. And then, oh, they are very critical against the church, against something they see. They are not happy. Or some member, they have a little bit of money, just a little bit, not like Bill Gates or anything, right? Just maybe a little bit more than other members. But they're so proud, some of them, whatever they don't like, they see something, they wrote a lot of things against our own church in the internet. How many of you have seen something like this? Raise your hand. Right? They think they're smart. They think they know church problem. And then they are not happy with something. They wrote a lot of things on the internet to let the whole world know. They think they are smart. They think church have problems. We have to tell the whole world about it. If you are the father, if your son or your daughters is not happy with the family, but if the son or the daughter choose to write open letter, open email to all his friends in the school to let them know that, oh, our family have issues. Let everybody, the whole world discuss. If you are a father, how will you feel? I think as a father, you feel very sad, right? If a family has problem, issues, there's a way to discuss it. There's a way to improve it, but not going to the internet to write and to let the whole world know about the weaknesses of the home. But some people think they are smart. They're educated. They know the problems. Some people have some little bit of money. They say, oh, now if you don't do it my ways, I'm going to sue you. I'm going to bring the church to court. These kind of things is a foolish person. The Bible says, if you are proud, actually it's foolish. Write it down, very important. If you are very proud, whatever you say become a foolish drama. Maybe other people can't do anything to you right now. Maybe nobody will so be brave to rebuke you in the face. But if you are proud, in God's eyes, you're making yourself a fool. For many, many generations, for many, many people to see. So make sure, even though your IQ is not that high, but don't make yourself a fool, okay? If your IQ is only 70, it's okay. For me, for example, I'm not smart. When I study, I struggle. Bad memory. I cannot focus a lot. I always fail my test. I was not that smart in school. So I think all of you are smarter than me. I think your IQ, most of you are at least 100, right? Or somewhat even higher. But if you have high IQ, but you are very proud because of your IQ or your school or of your money, you are making yourself a fool in God's eyes. Sooner or later, you regret. So why Solomon make mistake? Because he didn't listen to advice of his father. Nobody can talk to him anything like this anymore. But he didn't listen, remember what his father told him. He didn't read the Bible, but every day he just enjoyed life. So eventually, he was a fool. He was not humble enough to change his way. Oh. So humility is an attitude. When you're criticized, when things doesn't go your way, when your ego is hurt, it's to test you whether you have humility. So make sure we are not the one who is so proud, go to the internet to write things against the church, against your own family. All of this wrong deviation of behavior come from pride. So let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Make this be our memory verse. Let's read chapter 5, verse 5. 1, 2, 3. God opposed the pride, the proud, but will bless the humble. So fearing God is wisdom, and wisdom is humility. The wiser you are, the more humble you are, the wiser you are. Always say, I don't know something. Can you teach me? Can I learn from you? Can you show me how to do this? Can you tell me how to improve? Can you tell me what I lack? Always say this. Then you'll be wiser and wiser. Let's pray in silence. Amen. Thank you.